Got a question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert, Mary, and Rudy anytime on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at RM World Travel. Now, back to RM World Travel.
And we're back at your travel duo, Robert, Mary, ready to go as we get right into the latest installment of our Chief Travel Leader series. And we appreciate all of you being here with us wherever or however you're tuned in today. Before we're joined by the Chief Revenue Officer of Amtrak, we want to share that today's broadcast is made possible by CabbageWithAK.com.
Attention small business owners, managing inventory, covering payroll, and probably doing a dozen other things before lunch. We get it. It's just an average day when you own a small business. Your time is valuable, and getting the money you need shouldn't take all of it up.
No, it shouldn't, folks, and that's why Cabbage created a simple, modern way for businesses to access up to $250,000 of credit. The online application process takes just minutes to complete and get a decision. Then you can access the amount you need right away and withdraw more funds whenever you need extra capital. Cabbage has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. They provided over 200,000 small businesses with access to around $8 billion in funding, and now they're ready to help you, too. Get the money you need to run your small business today at Cabbage.com, Cabbage with a K, or RMWorldTravel.com under sponsors.
All right, when you hear me say Amtrak, what comes to mind for you? Well, they are America's national train operator, and if you didn't know, they provide service to more than 500 destinations in 46 states, the District of Columbia, as well as several Canadian provinces. Joining us on the show hotline to discuss current happenings for today's Chief Travel Leader segment is their Chief Revenue Officer, Roger Harris.
Roger, Mary, and I appreciate you being here with us on America's number one travel radio show for our exclusive Chief Travel Leader segment of the show today.
Great, thank you. Thank you for inviting me here today.
Well, nice to have you with us. So, listen, before we get into our discussion in earnest, I'm curious how an airline executive was enticed to join a railroad operator. I know you spent time at Northwest and Delta, as did Richard Anderson. So was he the reason you decided to join Amtrak?
In some ways he was. I really respect his leadership. He's a really thoughtful and supportive leader. But I also was really attracted by a lot of the similarities between the industries in terms of transportation, efficiency, and just, you know, moving the life and economy forward.
Interesting. So that brings me, that's a perfect segue to my question. Whether it's the airline sector that Robert mentioned you have years of experience in, or it's the passenger side of the railroad industry, there's certainly synergy there. It's still a business that involves equipment and systems successfully moving people. I'm curious what you've, you know, what have you discovered so far in your time with Amtrak that's maybe surprised you or hasn't surprised you, but that's noticeably different than what you may have encountered, you know, during your time at the various airlines, whether it was Aeromexico, Delta, Northwest, or many of the others.
Even KLM,
yeah.
Right, so, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, in the railroad industry, there's an element of public service that comes with this as well. We move people around. It's part of our kind of social responsibility. So not only are we interested in generating revenue to cover our costs, which is part of our fiduciary responsibility here,
sure,
at Amtrak, but we also have a real focus on ridership, and that's about creating utility and a social good for all those people out there, you know, who benefit from things like reduction in congestion of traffic and things like that. And in a for-profit airline, you're not quite as focused on that utility aspect that you're trying to generate for society.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's well put. You know, Mary and I, listen, I mean, I know we fly Delta Airlines frequently since we're based in the New York City area, and, you know, I'll go back because I just mentioned, you know, I followed Richard Anderson, frankly, you know, pre, during, and post his tenure with Delta. Since joining Amtrak as the CEO 2 years ago or so, I've heard him and other Amtrak executives talk about improving operations by adopting techniques implemented by the airline industry, and you hit on that a little bit. So, Roger, since we have you here with us today, I'd love for you to share with us, people tuned in right now around the country, what some of these techniques and other ambitions that you're looking to implement, what they are.
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. And I draw a parallel to what Richard and all of us did at Delta and what we're doing here, because there are two things, really. There's the operation in terms of making sure that it's reliable, making sure that we're on time for our customers. You do that through focus on process, focus on detail, and just making sure the whole organization is pulling in the same direction. So there's this basic level of operational integrity, which I think has become very strong at Amtrak. And the second feature, which I think is a really important part of successful airlines and successful transportation, is a focus on the customer. And we can't just always be focused on the operation. The the purpose of the operation is to deliver a safe, reliable, on-time product for people traveling
sure.
on it. But the reason we do that is because they're the customer. And so that's just one aspect of what we're doing. And then over time, we need to kind of step up our game and be able to focus on all those other attributes and amenities that customers want and need in the travel process.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about short-haul versus long-haul. Some say Amtrak should be focusing efforts on the short-haul routes. They certainly can be more profitable. They can provide a greater return, which allows you to put money in other areas as well. But, you know, I've seen others suggest that although more challenging, longer routes are also, they're an important part of Amtrak's purpose and essential to our needs here in the States. I'd love to know where you come down on the issue.
Well, I think they're both true in their own way. And so when we look at competing with air travel and car travel, and of course it's all in the transportation mix. Rail is most competitive and most able to shift share in that sort of medium haul distance between, say, 100 and 300 or 100 and 400 miles,
mm-hmm.
because we are truly competitive from a speed perspective. And so that's why people are telling us, hey, let's focus on that. And that is our sweet spot.
Right.
But we still provide a service to many communities around the U.S. on the long-distance trains that you mentioned. And so that's still part of our charter. And what we're trying to do is think about the best way to serve all those communities, because some of them don't even have the opportunity for air service, and in some places today, not even bus service.
Well, I think that's true.
That's
we
a
need
good
to
point,
think,
yeah.
Yeah, and you know, what's interesting is that people on those long-distance trains, many of them are only traveling a few hundred miles. So even if the train is going a huge distance, not all the customers are necessarily doing so. They're just, you know, getting on and off along the way.
Well, let's talk about the trains a little bit, because right now up in Hornell, New York, and for folks, if you're not familiar where that is, that's just south of Rochester, you're building the next generation of the Acela trains. I believe you're soon going to start testing them. So what can you tell us about these new high-speed trains that will be coming to Amtrak routes, and what can travelers expect from them?
Well, very exciting. So we're expecting to be in service sometime in the spring of 2021, which we're all looking forward to. It's a lot of work to get these into production. They're the latest European technology, so they are being built by Alstom in Hornell. The first prototype should be fully assembled this Saturday. It'll be tested early next year. There's more capacity, there's more seating capacity on the trains with the same amount of personal space, so we didn't squeeze people in. They're also lighter and faster than the existing technology with better Wi-Fi, better customer amenities. So we think customers are going to be really, really excited.
And they're going to be able to,
yeah.
You know, I know you're in D.C., Mary and I are in New York, but the Boston through D.C. route, the Northeast Corridor, you know, one of the big challenges is those trains can't go that fast. From what I understand, the new trains, they'll tilt a little more, and you will be able to gain a little more speed, which will make, you know, the time between the cities faster.
Well, yes, absolutely. So top speed helps us get there faster. We are continuing to invest in infrastructure and spending hundreds of millions of dollars a year in improving the tracks and the other infrastructure in the Northeast Corridor, because that's the other part of going faster. And we need to continue to invest in that, which we are.
Before we run out of time, I do want to give you an opportunity to touch on what you're doing at the stations as well, because I think that's a huge part of the first impression if people haven't traveled with you guys. And I want to single out Chicago's Union Station, because from what we understand, you're upgrading that station, which is good news. You've got about 40 seconds. Tell us what's going on there.
It's all part of this new Customer Now focus.
Yeah, so we just are wrapping up the renovations in the station part at Chicago Union Station, spent $22 million renovating that. And I think the most exciting part is the new Moynihan Train Hall, which will be open in just over a year in Manhattan, which will be our new home.
That's going to be big.
We're hearing chatter about that. Exciting.
Yeah. Right next to Penn Station. So it's going to be really awesome, and it's going to deliver a great customer experience.
Well, in the last 10 seconds, real quick, I mean, as the Chief Revenue Officer of Amtrak, are you bullish or bearish on Amtrak for the next 5 years or so?
I'm very bullish. We have tons of opportunity, and we're working really hard to deliver it.
Roger, listen, thank you. Very nice to connect with you today. Best wishes to you and the Amtrak team as you continue to build forward, and we hope you'll come back on with us at some point and share some other updates, okay?
Great. Thank you both.
Thank you very much. All right, there goes Roger. Just hit the release button on him. And, folks, the new Amtrak trains, I mean, I guess I can hear a lot of you saying out there, hallelujah.
Yeah, clapping their hands. It's very exciting.
It's coming. They're coming. So that's going to help train travel in the U.S. And interesting, the airline folks are now running the train systems in this country. So right now, folks, as we take a quick break, be sure to connect with us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram at RM World Travel. There's still a lot more to come on the program today, and we're going to get right to it starting in 3 minutes.
Today's edition of RM World Travel is coming right back, and you can also stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.